The apparent key to reducing recidivism and helping people move from the world of convicts back to the everyday is not to make the corrections default position lock him up. And as seen in the European approach to corrections, keeping family ties as intact as possible is key. There's a juvenile justice plan in Berrien County that's been applying these principles since 2001, strengthening family ties, keeping young offenders out of jail whenever possible. And their approach is paying off. Elvin Gonzalez is the Family Division Administrator for Berrien County Trial Court. He's with us now. Elvin, what caused Berrien County to seek out a new approach to juvenile justice in 2001?
Sure. It's been a radical shift. I would call it a system change and a system reform. We changed, in essence, the approach that we dealt with youth. Rather than looking at them as individuals who come to before the attention of the court and treat them in a kind of individualized manner, it was really important for us to look at the family system that youth came from. What we found is that of those youth that came before the court, many of the factors that contributed them to them being involved in delinquency came from two primary domains, their family domain and their school domain. Mm. And we knew we needed to address both of those domains and provide interventions that targeted those areas, strengthen the family's ability to supervise, effectively monitor, use effective discipline, and also support their children. Because we know that when we place kids in out-of-home care, over 90% of those youth return to their families. They come back home, and if the home situation is not improved, if it's not better able to support that youth, then they typically recidivate at high rates and regress.
So it sounds like rather than a sense of we're going to punish this young person for whatever he or she did, it's almost as if taking a therapeutic approach. What can we fix at home in that world in which that child came from?
There are both sides to that equation. You know, I want to make it very clear that accountability for one's decisions, whether you're a youth or a parent, or a youth who's brought before the court, is not forgotten in this approach. Personal accountability for one's decisions, and then helping families, helping youth make better decisions, learn more effective ways to conduct themselves in a community and not put the community at risk. Those go hand in hand. And so part of that was the idea that we needed to differentiate those youth who came before the court and use risk needs assessment instruments to help us, in essence, triage those youth and know who our more high-risk juvenile offenders were, what were the factors that were causing them to be high-risk to reoffend, and then effectively intervening with those factors and also supporting the family, the parents, the caregivers in learning better skills to effectively supervise, monitor, and manage their youth. Ultimately, our belief is that kids live in an ecology. That ecology is their family system, their neighborhood, their community, their school, and we needed to impact those areas to help youth be successful in our communities.
So based on when you have an offender and they go through this, as you accurately called it, a triage, they could wind up in a juvenile detention facility, or they could wind up, staying at home under intense supervision?
Yes, there's a range. We call it a continuum of services or a system of care. So we have a variety of interventions that look at the needs and the risks that the youth presents, and we match that youth and family to what their risk and needs are. So some youth who cannot be safely managed in the community may end up in more supervised, structured settings. That's a small number compared to what it was before. When I arrived here in 2001, we had over 125 youth from our county that were in out-of-home residential placements throughout Michigan and other states. Today, our numbers are under between 30 and 40 kids in out-of-home placement. So that's a significant reduction. And we were able to accomplish that because we could do a better job of assessing the risk and needs of these youth and families. And then we implemented evidence-based practices, evidence-based treatment programs that are demonstrated to be effective, that keep youth in their community, living at home, and the services are provided to the family and the youth in the community setting.
And I imagine the cost of that kind of approach is very favorable compared with the cost of sending some young offender, to a juvenile facility.
Absolutely, absolutely. What we found is that when youth went to an out-of-home residential placement, the average length of stay was anywhere between 12 to 14 months. the average cost per youth was between $80,000 and $90,000 to treat one youth in residential placement, where we could treat a youth and their family in the community with these intensive services for approximately anywhere between $5,000 to $8,000 per youth. So it's a substantial cost savings. The other strategy that we did is we approached our funding unit and we said, we believe we can more effectively work with these youth and families by providing these intensive services in the community. Would you allow us to reinvest the savings by reducing the number of youth we send to residential placement to reinvest that into the community to support these community-based programs? And our funding unit agreed to that.
And Elvin, I saw one figure that said recidivism dropped from more than 58% in 1998 to 17.5% in 2012. That has to be a very encouraging trend.
Absolutely, absolutely. Our court is committed to measuring what's meaningful and measuring what we do in terms of not only the outcomes of how many youth went to a particular program, did they complete the program successfully, but what happened after they received their service. That's what's where really the rubber meets the road. And we track our youth anywhere from 1 year to 18 months post-closure, when we close our case out. And we use a variety of databases to find out if they reoffended. If so, when did they reoffend? What types of crimes they commit? And so we track youth after they receive their interventions and their services, and that's how we gather our recidivism data. And what we realized is, for us as a juvenile justice organization, it's important that we help kids learn various skills, be more effective in managing conflict, make better decisions. Rehabilitate them, in essence. But ultimately, at the end of the day, we needed to move the needle on recidivism.
Yeah.
Unless we could show that we were dropping recidivism, then everything else was, well-intended effort. But at the end of the day, we needed to show that we were dropping that recidivism.
Elvin, are you aware of other counties taking this approach, or are you kind of trailblazing in Michigan?
Well, I think that more counties in Michigan are looking at how to do system change and to innovate their juvenile justice systems. And there's a number of significant efforts happening nationally. The MacArthur Foundation has been very strong behind the Models of Change initiative, which is really taking juvenile justice and examining current practice and how to align it more with evidence-based practices. There are counties in Michigan that have really reduced their numbers of kids in residential placement by doing many of the things that we've done. And I think this is a movement nationally. We really are looking at return on investment. As taxpayers, if we are providing funding that funds juvenile justice systems, just like we fund prisons and jails, we need to ask the fundamental question, are we making smart, wise use of those dollars, and are we getting the return on investment? Are we demonstrating that through our efforts, through our programs, through our services, by measuring what we do, that we are making the positive difference that we're supposed to make in public safety, holding youth accountable for their conduct, but also improving the lives of not only the youth and families we work with, but our general community?
Elvin Gonzalez is the Family Division Administrator for Berrien County Trial Court. Thanks for speaking with us today, Elvin.
You're welcome.